Chapter 8. This is my commandment, that you love one another. In John 15, verses 9 to 17, it is said, As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Clearer than ever before, you will now be conscious of how exceptional the divine love is that has touched all of us in the modern mystery school, and how superhuman is the radiation of love that desires to save us from the darkness of this world. Order of time and space. In your frequent confrontations with the school, you have perhaps asked yourself, How am I to start now that I realize the far-reaching task inherent in the path? The answer is, This is my commandment that you love one another. This is the most essential and foremost requirement of the pupilship. Though you may be able and willing to do everything, if you have not this love, you have nothing and are nothing. We place the accent on the word this intentionally because it is the stream of love of the first mystery, the love which is the gnosis, which is spirit. This love has nothing in common with the ordinary dialectical emotional streams or with sentimentality, which we all know so well. By virtue of our natural state, it is not in us, not of us. At best, it is with us. Therefore, there is no sense in reproaching one another with the paucity of this love. Neither is there any sense in evolving romantic and poetic symbols of this love. It places us in a bleak, naked reality, the reality of the common dialectical state of nature, and, in this state, it confronts us with a practical vital requirement. This must be the beginning, the fulfillment of a very elementary vital requirement. There is nothing romantic in this, for when we fulfill its commandment, divine love is like the sword of the myths and legends. That sword will touch us and pierce us till the blood flows. This is my commandment that you love one another. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Behold, hundreds gather together in the modern spiritual school. They come from all realms of dialectical life. They are born of nature, filled with self-centeredness, inclined by nature to hate God and man. They join a group. A blaze of flames underlies this union. It is the blaze of the flames of feeling, of natural love and of hatred, of likes and dislikes, of pros and cons. It is a blaze of flames indeed, but certainly not a Pentecostal fire. The most that can be said about it is that, as a group, we have been brought together and are being kept together by a mutual search in the same direction and by the magic hold of the living body of the school. And now, as we are confronted with this living body, we all, men and women alike, hear the voice resounding in our ears. This is my commandment, that you love one another. What does this mean? It means that first of all, we have to extinguish the flames of the hellish fire that occupies us and sets us against one another. On the ashes of this unholy fire, on this non-being, the love which is of the gnosis can then evolve. He who has extinguished the flames of the unholy fire in himself can devote himself to his friends who are still engaged in the same work. Now, how is this friendly office to be seen? Not by sentimentality, not by the sparkling of outer appearances, but by self-effacement, by self-denial, by serving without any reserve, counting for nothing the pain and the scorn and the slander connected with this ministration. extinguishing the hellish eye fire in others inflicts wounds, entails sorrow in your life. Now he who perseveres in this and accomplishes this is a truly loving brother or sister in the sense of the gnosis. You are my friends if you do what I command you, says Jesus the Lord. Therefore, let us forge together this chain of brothers and sisters, in order that the love of God that passes all understanding may enter into us and abide in us. Let us make the sacrifice of serving mankind in one another and for one another, not with heads bent, thinking, how terrible, but in complete joy. For these things are spoken to us by the Gnosis, in order that, as Jesus says, my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be complete. It is necessary to understand correctly the meaning of the word joy, as it is used in the Gospel according to John. In Gnostic language, the word joy expresses a state of being, the state of the new life, which, when one enters it, is a true state of joy. The joy which we know in our nature can never be static. Our joy alternates with cheerlessness, sadness, indifference, owing to all kinds of situations, arousing their opposites. This is why our joy is at most a fleeting emotional state, and frequently, this emotional state does not even agree with reality, and therefore may be due to an error or have its ground in a tragedy. However, in the Gnosis, there is a state of being which is real joy, which scintillates in every cell of the new state of being, which is absolutely connected with one's entire system. It is a joy that is indestructible and consequently will accompany a person through sad experiences. For those who have been liberated in the light, it must be a very sad experience to see seekers wandering in the darkness of night and have most dubious attitudes of life. Yet such an experience does not interfere with the joy of the great ones. To us, it is still an unknown reality of being, which, nevertheless, is held out to us as a future attainment. He who goes the path and fulfills the path will enter that state. It shall remain in him. It shall be fulfilled in him.